gang. It is your founding father, Alex Cooper, with Call Her Daddy.
What the fuck is up, Daddy Gang? It is your founding father. Oh my God. Back at it again for another episode of Call Her Daddy. Can you feel the difference? The tonality is a little bit happier, vibrant. We're on the fucking up and up because I'm in fucking New York City. I'm a different person in New York City. Daddy Gang, welcome back to another episode of Call Her Daddy. This week, I am sitting down with Eileen Kelly. Who is Eileen Kelly? Eileen has her own podcast. It's called Going Mental. On her podcast, she talks work, love, life, and of course, mental health. I definitely made a new friend, which was amazing, after recording this episode. And I feel like you guys are going to feel the same. Daddy Gang, Eileen could be any of us. She could be you. She's a cool ass fucking chick who's really down to earth, extremely bright, and has been through a lot. And through all of this, she's made a business out of it, which we love to fucking see. Eileen moved to New York City and ignited an online community where she and a team of writers, actually, it also just started with her in her bedroom, and then now has a fucking team who answers questions about sex, relationships, and growing up. Pretty fucking dope. We love to see a boss woman. Literally, we cover so much in this fucking episode. We get into our Catholic school days. Shout out, sister fucking Patricia. And the sex ed curriculum we all wish we had, okay? And to all my goddamn horny bitches in the back, lube up. Literally, because in this episode, we dive deep into masturbation 101, blowjobs, and threesomes, because Eileen has had many of them, and a fucking story that blew my fucking mind. It's a story of a friendship that turned into a revenge porn disaster for Eileen. And Daddy Gang, you will probably be able to guess who did this to her. Because I did, and if you can't, fucking Google it. We end the episode with a discussion on mental health, and Eileen openly details her decision to check herself into McLean Hospital, a psychiatric facility in Massachusetts, where Eileen spent 5 months seeking treatment for her mental health. Daddy Gang, I hope you enjoy my conversation with my new friend, Eileen Kelly. This episode is presented by Sparkling Ice. Turn up summer with Sparkling Ice. They have over 17 anything but subtle flavors, all made with zero sugar and packed with vitamins and antioxidants. Iced tea and lemonade, strawberry watermelon, tropical punch, peach nectarine. Yum. Crank up the flavor. Sparkling Ice, anything but subtle. Okay, real talk for a second, Daddy Gang. Sex is great. We know that, okay? But sex isn't always perfect. And if you have unprotected sex, you have the power to choose what's right for you in that moment. If not getting pregnant is the goal, Plan B emergency contraception is a great backup plan. Because listen, getting wild in the bedroom can be fun, but feeling out of control afterwards, not so fun. With Plan B, you can take control of your body and your future whenever you need a backup plan. It's important to remember to take Plan B as directed within 72 hours after unprotected sex, and keep in mind that the sooner you take it, the better it works. With Plan B, you've got this, and I've got you, Daddy Gang. With a special $10 coupon for your next Plan B, visit planbcoupon.com/daddy to get $10 off your next purchase. That's planbcoupon.com/daddy to get $10 off your next purchase. This episode is brought to you by UGG. Who's ready to create some core memories this spring, Daddy Gang? Rally the squad. We're packing up and heading out on a road trip in UGG. Y'all know I live in my UGG classic boots. Well, now it's time to swap out the boots for the sandal of the season, the Golden Glow, because you already know UGG season is year-round, baby. Shop the Golden Collection at UGG.com.
Great.
Let's just get into it.
I'm like, I need a shot.
I do, literally. Should we be drinking?
Can we have one shot?
Tequila or vodka?
I'm a vodka girl.
Vodka for her, tequila for me.
Like, dude. Some people can just, I don't know how they get up on stage. Like, public speaking, all that stuff was never my thing.
Okay, the fact that this is about to be warm, I'm so sorry. You don't care.
No. What time is it? It's noon.
Dude, it's literally noon.
Oh my God.
I think it's necessary.
You want to spill on your couch?
No, it's fine. There's been a lot worse shit on this couch. Let me be very clear. Let me be very clear. Okay, here I go.
Oh shit, I just spilled.
It's okay. Here we go. It's for the podcast. We're starting this fucking episode. And we're taking a goddamn shot. A warm shot of tequila and vodka.
Oh my God.
Eileen Kelly.
Alexandra Cooper.
Thank you for coming from New York City to hang out with me. This is very exciting. She's shaking her tits. You can't see it, but the tits are moving. And right before, she was like, if my nipple comes out, can you? I'm like, no, there's nothing wrong with the nipple out. We love a nipple out on Call Her Daddy. I'm also so excited because it's not too often, but kind of as of recent that I haven't podcasted with someone that has a podcast. So I kind of like podcasting with someone that has a podcast. It's easier for me a little bit. Like, you know where your head is on the microphone.
Yeah, and how close. Yeah, and just like little logistical things.
Just the logistics. Let's give the Daddy Gang a little bit of background about who you are, and then we can dive into obviously what we're here for, which is sex. Not really, but kind of, but not really. You grew up in Seattle.
Yep.
You have two older brothers and...
And an older half-sister, actually.
And then you're the youngest.
Yes, I'm the baby.
I'm also the baby. Ooh. So I relate. What was the dynamic there for you being the youngest?
My siblings are all a lot older than me.
Okay.
So like, honestly, I felt like part of my childhood, I was kind of an only child. Like by the time I reached middle school, everyone was out of the house and college. My sister was 17 when I was born.
Whoa. Okay. So you're like only child vibes.
Yeah.
With hints of older siblings.
Yeah. And like, I mean, I wouldn't say I'm particularly like super close to them. I feel like my sister and I are now creating a relationship because obviously like a 23-year-old isn't going to be
right
like close with like a 4-year-old. So yes. It's like now that I'm finally, once I started like entering my 20s, she's in her 40s. We're now like getting really close. But honestly, so my mom passed away when I was really young.
Yeah.
And I think my dad, as a single parent, tried to just kind of emulate what I had, like the family unit that we had had up until that point, if that makes sense. So like I always did ballet and dance and art. I actually wasn't allowed to play sports. I know.
Wait, what?
I grew up in a really sexist household. We'll get into that.
Wait. Who told you weren't allowed to play sports?
I think it was more of like maybe my mom's thing before she passed away. I mean, my mom grew up in Mongolia. So she grew up in like a third world country, like very rigid standards of women and men and sexism. But yeah, I wasn't allowed to play sports, but my brothers could. It was honestly really fucked up. I would say my childhood was like quintessential, like really, really positive, loving childhood. And then my mom passed away really suddenly when I was 8, and like everything shifted overnight. My dad developed a really bad drinking problem and just didn't know how to cope with losing like his partner, and he never got remarried.
Oh wow.
So it was like just having this single dad, and I'm a lot younger, so I really got, I would say, the brunt of just the neglectfulness more so than my siblings. Like I was younger, and you're very dependent on your parents at that age.
Of course. So you were the one that was in the house.
Yes.
With your dad.
Yes.
Experiencing all of that. I'm so sorry about your mom.
It's a long time ago. I honestly, as I get older, I realize how it's shaped me into the person I am today. And there's a lot of positives to that. You can't live with regrets or like, what if this was different? Like, I just kind of take it by the...
Totally. That's it's literally how we survive. We got to make the best of any situation that we're dealt. What was your relationship to the internet when you were younger?
I mean, it was like my place of refuge, literally. Like, I felt like I had no one to talk to. I honestly had a really lonely childhood.
Yeah.
At certain points, like especially in middle school when I started going through puberty. It's like a weird time, I think, with your parents generally. Yeah. But with a single dad, I didn't know who to talk to about like my body changing or like getting my period. So that's where I moved to the internet. And I started this Tumblr account literally when I was like 14, 15. And I would just talk to other teens online. It became like this Ask Alice vibe.
Oh.
So like I was 16 and like people would, I would share really openly. Like I had my first boyfriend around that time. I like lost my virginity around that time. So I would talk about it. I would do little posts and then people started asking me questions and that's how my Tumblr kind of blew up. So they would ask me like advice, like, oh, my boyfriend cheated on me or this. And I'm like, okay, at 16, like, what did I really know?
Right.
But like, I think I was just happy to talk to these other young people. But it's funny, I met people I know now on Tumblr. Like I met Bella Hadid on Tumblr when we were 16. Stop. And I came to LA once with my dad and we had a play date.
Shut
but
the fuck up.
But we met off of Tumblr. Like I went to her mom's house in Malibu.
So that's like the pros of social media. And like that's
this is
amazing.
Like the very beginning of right. social media. Like in my experience, and I would love to hear yours, yeah. now that everyone, I feel like it's so saturated with yeah. people who have so many followers, people don't jump on like meeting people as much anymore. Like,
I agree. So you start on Tumblr.
And then I moved to New York.
Moved to New York.
For college. So I always knew. Both my brothers went to school in New York, like one went to NYU and stuff.
Okay.
And I always knew, like, I would come and visit them and I was like, I need to live here. Like, ever since I was a child, I was like, New York is just calling my name.
Same.
Like, get me the fuck out of Seattle.
Yeah.
I'm like, New York or LA, but take me to New York.
Yeah, specifically New York.
Yeah. So I moved to New York and went to college there initially.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm going to take this Tumblr thing, but I'm going to take it off of Tumblr and I'm going to make a website, just a blog.
Right.
And I met this coder at NYU. Who was like, oh, I can basically build it for you for free. And then I met this graphic designer who worked for Kanye, but they were like young and it was the beginning of their careers.
Oh my God.
So they were like down. Like if I had met them today, this none yeah. of this shit would have happened.
It's like pay up, bitch.
Like literally the yeah. stars aligned yeah. at that moment. And yeah, they built me a website and I would just blog about like, what's it like to get an IUD put in or how do I put a tampon in? Just like super basic things from a first person point of view.
In the beginning, in the middle of Call Her Daddy, every fucking question was like, oh my God, what do your parents think about this? And so I'm interested to know, like, when did you tell your family that you were like going to be
pursuing this?
Yeah.
My family is really religious. So it's been this kind of don't ask, don't tell. And it's something I'm still navigating as my career has like flourished more and I've gotten more opportunities that they themselves can understand. Those are the things I'll share with them.
Okay.
So like a couple years ago, I was talking, like going and speaking at a lot of universities across the country. Like I've spoken at Brown, I've spoken at Columbia. And like, wow. These are universities where I'm like, I honestly probably couldn't even get into the school.
How crazy is that?
Yeah. At like 20 years old, they're asking me to come speak and like give a presentation. And those are kind of the things that on paper, my family can be like, okay, we're proud of that. We understand that. But even yesterday I was on the phone with my dad. I was like, I'm going on this podcast. Like it's a really big deal. I'm very excited. But like, he doesn't really know what podcasts are.
Got it.
So he was like, oh, I'm happy for you. But like,
right.
There's a disconnect.
Is that hard?
I think I'm so used to it, even since I was like a young girl, and I almost feel like not having that huge amount of support at home has made me a go-getter.
Because listen, us Catholic girls, we gotta stick together. How did being Catholic and attending Catholic school affect your relationship with sex, your relationship with your body, boys, sexual education, etc.?
I mean, a lot of things. Obviously, what we talked about earlier is I grew up in a male-dominated household, so that was like one tick. And then growing up in Catholic school, where yeah, none of this stuff was really talked about. It was much more hidden than it would be in other places. So I remember even in middle school, like girls having to bring a tampon to the bathroom, like they were embarrassed of it. So they would hide it up their sleeve. And now I look back as an adult and I'm like, that affects yeah. women like way past that age of women who are not super comfortable with their like vaginas or menstruation. Those are the women who honestly sometimes have a harder time orgasming because they feel dirty.
If we could go back and you could like be in your sex ed class. You're like, Professor Kelly, like, reteach us. Like, what is something for sex ed that you like wish was enforced or taught or
pleasure
showed? Yeah,
I mean, I feel like the easy one to jump to is obviously consent, and these things yeah. like aren't really talked about, and they are definitely needed. But pleasure is a huge one that's missing. Like yeah. sex should always feel good, or like it yeah. shouldn't hurt.
So true. I also remember you said something about porn
education.
Yeah, let's also normalize, like, all right, let's play it. Like, this, not so real.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
let's just be real. Like, her on her head doing a headstand and he's coming down from the swing and his dick is inside of her. Not real, kids. I also was just thinking recently, like, normalizing in vitro. We live in such a hetero world of young kids, if it was normalized that like you don't just have to have a man stick his penis into a woman's vagina to get pregnant, if we normalize that, then maybe also younger kids will feel less inclined to feel forced to be a part of such a hetero world if that's not internally what they're feeling.
Yeah. Also, I feel like normalizing awkward moments in sex
yeah.
is a huge one. Like, you don't see that in porn, and like porn tends to be a lot of people's sex ed.
Yeah.
Just unfortunately, it's not supposed to be. It's supposed to be entertainment for adults. Right. But like awkward moments of like, okay, if your partner like comes in you, like, what do you do? Sometimes I jump up and I run to the bathroom and then I pee, right? So I don't get a UTI.
Right.
But it's like, it's not like it's not like in the movies. I'm not cuddling with my partner right away. I'm right. literally jumping up, like hoping the cum doesn't yes. come out. And like, those are moments that need to be talked about, or like queefing, or just yeah. these things that are normal, like bodily functions.
Yeah, in porn, we never see any moment of an awkward transition from like doggy to missionary. It's like, and 5, 6, 7, 8, and flip. And somehow like the dick stays in. It's like, yeah. that's not normal.
No, or like super high quality, like a shift from the camera angle. And then they're yeah. all of a sudden they're in a new position.
Yes, like it's not realistic. I agree. Okay, I'm sure you have plenty of stories. If it comes to mind, like what is one of like your best one night stand stories?
I've actually never had like a true one night stand.
Are you a relationship girl?
Yeah, I'm kind of a serial dater. What's I'm trying to actually get over that. I used to be a lily pad hopper.
What?
That's what my therapist calls it.
Wait, explain.
Like one time when I was like 18 or 19. Oh my, this is horrible. I can't believe I'm admitting Say this. It. Basically, my best friend at the time from high school, like I knew he always had a crush on me, and like we had this extreme sexual tension, but I was dating someone else and we had cheated on my boyfriend, and then I broke up with my boyfriend and started dating him right away. Like there was like a probably a 2-hour switch, but to be fair, my boyfriend got shipped off to rehab and like he moved away, so we weren't even able to date anyways.
Fair.
And I was young, I was like 19, but like that's what I mean. I've definitely had like severe crossover, and like for years of my life I was never single. I always had a boyfriend.
Okay, so you're a serial dater.
Not
right now. Do you have a boyfriend right now?
No, technically we broke up like 2 weeks ago.
Technically we broke up. Do you think you're going to get back together?
I don't know. We'll see. But I'm usually always in a relationship, and it's actually something I'm trying to work on as I get older, because I think it's very important to be able alone. To be alone and be by yourself, to then not settle for a partner that's not right for you.
I agree.
Like I see girls or friends of my, or girls from high school, for example, yeah. who grew up in Seattle, and then they start dating like some college sweetheart, and it's like you've only fucked two people in your life, and then they get married, and I'm like, don't you want to experience your identity beyond being like a wife or a mother or a girlfriend? I want to know who Eileen Kelly is by myself, love myself, and then hopefully meet a partner who adds to my life. I see this a lot with like mothers from my high school friends
yeah.
or grade school who have this midlife crisis just because divorce is like the rates of divorce are skyrocketing yeah. where it's like, okay, they got married super young. They popped out kids. Then the kids leave the nest. They get divorced and they're like, who am I without those identities? I literally don't know who I am.
Did you watch Sex Life?
That's the one where that actor has a huge dick.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just yes. like the only review yes. I heard of it.
Because I literally in the middle of the scene, like he has the biggest dick, and I was like, is that a prosthetic? Which it was. It turns
no,
out.
No, I heard it was real.
It turns out it was fake.
Are Dude, you sure? Where did you read that?
I literally Googled it, and it was like they put for that one scene a prosthetic on him. It was just, it was like literally down to his ankles.
I know, so it was like an elephant trunk.
Yeah, yeah,
Have
yeah.
Have you ever seen a dick that big?
not in front of me that I'm having sex with, but I have obviously in porn, but like not that I'm like, it's about to enter me. No, haven't. Have you had sex with a huge dick that you're like, this is painful?
I have definitely seen one. I honestly was hooking up with this guy once and I saw his dick and I told him, I was like, I don't think we're going to be able to have sex.
You're like, I don't think that can go inside.
Yeah, literally.
Me. What did he say?
He was like, oh no, it can work. Like, you're like, yeah, it works the tip. With people.
So did you not have sex?
I never had sex with him.
When did you start masturbating? We need to talk about masturbating because this is going to be a whole topic. I recently put an Instagram story on Call Her Daddy. If you've never masturbated and like you're scared, can you just like explain to me why? Yeah. And I didn't know how many women would write in. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of women writing in. Let me read a couple of these. Basically me asking, can you anonymously share what's holding you back from masturbating? Why are you scared? Short answer, I live with my parents and am paranoid someone will walk in. Second, I really don't know what to do and I'm not comfortable enough with myself. Even though I'm comfortable having sex, ? I don't know why I'm scared of it. Someone else, I haven't and I'm almost 27. For whatever reason, the idea is weird to me. I don't turn myself on. The thought of it makes me feel embarrassed, but I'm also totally open when it comes to sex with my boyfriend. Someone else said, I've been through sexual trauma in my life, and I feel like that plays a huge part in why I just feel uncomfortable trying to please myself, and I get very awkward when it comes down to it. So I think all of these make sense. You know, like the point of this podcast right now is to try to help you get out of those feelings towards being able to masturbate. Because listen, it's the best feeling when you get to that comfort level. And it's so amazing having that relationship with yourself.
Yeah, and it will improve your sex life with partners like tenfold.
So Eileen, walk me through a day in the life of masturbating with Eileen.
I don't know. It really depends. Like I go through phases where I don't masturbate because I feel like a lot of the time I have a boyfriend and then if I'm getting my sexual needs met, like I don't really crave masturbating. Yep. And then there's other times where like maybe I'm feeling anxious or depressed and I'm just like not horny.
1000%.
But then there's times where I'm like super horny and I just like want to masturbate. It really depends. I am a porn watcher. I enjoy watching porn.
What kind of porn?
Amateur. Like there's a few just videos that I like.
Yeah.
And
solo or girl on girl or guy and girl?
Depends. I think I like all of those. I randomly like girls with big boobs in my porn.
Love
and
that.
I feel like because I don't have big boobs and something like that.
That's really interesting. I like that.
It's
point.
Like liking something that I don't have.
Yeah.
But I think my advice for some of the things that you just read, and maybe the one who had gone through sexual trauma is a little bit different. Yeah. I think that's something that maybe it would be helpful to look into talking to a professional or like a therapist to helping unpack that relation.
I agree.
But I think for me, my biggest advice is it doesn't even have to go straight to the vagina.
Yeah.
Like I think one of the girls mentioned like, I don't turn myself on. I don't think it necessarily needs to be you turning yourself on. I think it can just be like a fantasy or like watching porn, or even if you have a boyfriend that you're really attracted to, thinking about your boyfriend while you're alone.
I agree.
Like just touching your boobs and like,
which is, again, I had some of that embarrassment. Like I remember from that like Catholic school upbringing, like it just wasn't normalized at all, and it was like the secret that I was keeping. So I remember I would turn off my lights and not suffocate myself, but I would like put a pillow over my eyes, or if you have like a sleeping
mask,
put that on, get into a position maybe where you're closing your eyes and it's dark. And I have always been a big advocate for like ASMR porn to start and ease you into it. So it's literally like a girl could just be making
the noises
of her masturbating. And then as you're listening to that, you're not visually seeing it. You get to kind of go into your head of like, who am I thinking about? Who would I want to fuck? Who have I fucked? A past lover, a future lover? Like, what are you thinking of? And then take your hands, again, get lube. If you don't have lube, you can spit on your fingers, put your fingers in your mouth. Like I do really recommend lube because it really elevates the experience. And you're right. Like it doesn't have to be your vagina. Like start feeling your body. If you don't want to rub your tits because you're like, ah, that's freaking me out, and you want to just start at the vagina, rubbing not just right on your clit. If you're like, I don't even know where my clit is, it's the top of your vagina. It's like right there. If you lightly start rubbing it, just rub around and you'll immediately be like, oh, that's it. Cause you'll start feeling it. And I think rubbing in between like the lips is a really good starting, and just rubbing lightly and trying different motions, whether it's tapping.
I also think it's nice sometimes with underwear on to start.
That's such a good point. You can start with literally take your fucking electric toothbrush, put the back of the head over your underwear and just start lightly rubbing it. That's actually maybe the best way I would say to start for someone who's not comfortable masturbating, because there's no way you're not going to slowly get turned on if you're rubbing the vibration over your underwear. And it's going to slowly start hitting your clit. And you're going to be like, wait, oh my God, I feel something.
Yeah, and I don't think you need anything internal yet. Nope. Like, just stay external.
Yeah.
My recommendation for, like, a first vibrator would just be, like, a bullet. Like, something just small. Maybe it just has one setting. It's not, like, a huge, like, vibrating dildo or something you're, like, stick in your vagina.
I think it's really, really, that's a great advice. And also, again, like, don't just focus on your clit. But I would also suggest to girls that, like, you know what a clit is, but you don't even like know yours yet, really get to the point where like you could, with your eyes closed, go down and like immediately, like it's like the pin the tail on the donkey, like you could put your finger on your clit.
Well, no, that's what I mean. Take the handheld mirror and go open your legs and sit in front of a mirror, lock your door and inspect like where your labia, your you know, your labia is, majora and minora, and like, and look at a little diagram on Google Images. So easy with your phone.
And it's also going to get easier. Women should enjoy themselves and think about the amount of times a guy says, oh, I'm gonna go jack off. That's almost the vibe we need to get to, where it's also normalized for me to be like, I'm fucking horny, I'm gonna go masturbate. Because once you get comfortable with yourself, I think for me, my masturbation definitely changes, like you said. Having a boyfriend, it's a weird dynamic. You have to almost like adjust and figure out like, when is my masturbation schedule? I've been doing it where I masturbate more recently because it also then makes me horny for sex. I was going through a period where I changed my birth control and not feeling great. And I felt like my sex drive was down. And so I have given this advice. So I was like, take my own fucking advice. Yeah. And I started masturbating, like whether he like left to go work out, and then I would masturbate. Then once I would do that, I would start to get more turned on throughout the day and then want to have sex with my boyfriend. So anyone that's like, why am I not? Also, if you're not in the mood, don't force it. I just knew I just needed that extra alone time because I was getting too used to just fucking my boyfriend and then it being like, okay, I haven't had any alone time. Listen, if you're listening, I hope you at least just order some lube today and just hang out with yourself this weekend.
I recommend silicone lube. I'm not a water-based lube girl.
Look into what you're putting on your vagina, because I've had, what is that thing, glycerin?
Yeah. And then it can give you yeast infection.
Yeah, you gotta just check that the ingredients don't have glycerin in it, because that fucked my vagina up for a little bit. Okay, so let's talk about blowjobs.
Okay.
Can you give us one of your best blowjob tips, or just any type of go-to blowjob things that you have in your arsenal that you whip
out?
Yeah,
my only tip is just don't use your teeth.
Oh, stop.
I'm serious.
That's it.
So the first time I ever gave a blowjob, I was a junior in high school.
Oh, no.
I was on a family vacation and I had met this guy by the pool and he was my age and he lived in LA and I thought he was super cute. And I just had this feeling like he's going to come to my hotel room later. Like, I think I'm going to give him a blowjob. So he called my best friend, who's a little bit older than me. And I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, I've never given one. And she was like, just don't use your teeth and just pretend it's a banana. And it worked. And he would not believe me that it was my first blowjob to this day.
Okay, so just don't use teeth.
I think that's just like, if you're really gonna be focusing on one thing, and like, I was definitely young and insecure and like really in my head about it. It's just like, okay, just don't use the teeth. Don't accidentally use my teeth or bite it.
You know, sometimes you just need, again, we're going back to the basics. Sometimes you need a gentle reminder that you can't use your fucking teeth. Okay, do you like giving head or no?
I do.
Okay.
Okay, do you find sex more intimate or blowjobs more intimate?
I find sex more intimate.
Me too.
Dude, it's so crazy because I used to give these guys blowjobs and they'd be like, why can you give me head and we don't fuck?
Yes.
And I was like,
that is me.
Because you 100%. Aren't going inside of me. Fuck off. Like, I'll put my
mouth
on your
dick. But maybe
that's
like the Catholic thing. I'm not even kidding. I'm a little more reserved when it comes to sex. Okay. Like, I think sex makes me feel more attached.
I agree.
If I give someone just a blowjob or they eat me out, it's like zero attachment. I couldn't give two shits. But I know a lot of women and a lot of friends of mine who are the opposite, and they find giving a blowjob way more intimate than just getting fucked.
It's so interesting because I also think a lot of men think that. Like, I remember I had this thing in college specifically and a little outside of college where I was on this like crazy fucking like ego train that I'm still unpacking. I was obsessed with trying to get the guys that like everyone was like, we can't get them. And I'm like, I'm going to go get him. And then I would get him. And then I was like, we need to level up. And it was just this like constant game for me. I would always suck their dicks and I would never fuck them. And I would see them always coming back around. And everyone then I would talk to about it would be like, blowjobs are so much more intimate. Oh my God. Like, you're basically fucking him. And I'm like, nope, he's never been inside of me. So no. And I just saw it so differently. And it was like a power dynamic for me that I loved that we had never had sex and I was still getting pleasure. They would eat me out or finger me, but it was like a power thing for me. And maybe it does go back to that Catholic thing of like,
I agree with you, though.
Right?
I'm not even kidding. I feel like I've had past boyfriends too where I'm like, I'm not going to fuck you. And then they're like, okay, will you be my girlfriend? Like weird things yes. where it's super quick. I remember I had a really long term, like awful boyfriend. And he had said years later, like, the only reason I asked you out so fast is because like I wanted to fuck you. And we ended up dating for years. And this isn't advice. We're just talking it out.
I don't give a fuck about my mouth. Like, I'm like, get in there.
But
like,
that's what I mean. Is it some Catholic, like puritanical view of like virginity?
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. Cause that's something I've been learning to unpack. I'm in that boat completely.
It's so interesting. There is no right or wrong answer. Girls, if you're out there putting the pussy out and you're not giving them head, like, I'm not giving any judgment. If anything, do exactly what you want to do. Threesomes. Eileen gave me a little wink. Have you ever had a threesome?
I have had many.
Tell me. I just threw my paper. Tell me everything. Tell me the dynamic.
Wait, have you ever had a threesome?
I've had one.
Okay.
And I know that he's going to kill me. No, he doesn't care. He's just like, I have a job. My boyfriend and I have talked about it.
Okay. I've never done it with a boyfriend, but I've had many.
Okay.
So I used to hook up with a couple. That's probably my favorite experience. And they lived in LA and I lived in New York and I would come to LA periodically and I would hook up with them.
How did you meet them?
I met them out. They were just like hitting on me. But my gay best friend at the time was hooking up with the guy's roommate. I knew who they were. Like, they weren't just like randoms at the bar. And I went home or with them and I had a threesome. But I was like, I'm not going to have sex with, because I was
the guy
with the guy. So I did everything else. Being the third was so fun.
That's what, see,
it was fucking amazing. Like, you get to come in. I'm like, all the attention's on me. Like, right. I'm making this more fun and special. I'm like the new little like
toy,
you know,
for the, yeah, like
toy
a fun
for
vibe.
The evening. Exactly. But then I get to leave before you guys get into a fight or deal with the bullshit that comes with being in a serious relationship.
Can you walk us through like a night?
Oh gosh, that was so long ago. I don't even remember. I'm trying to think of maybe my most recent one.
Okay.
So it's always been with friends. Been someone I've been in a relationship with. I have done it with fuck buddies.
I was
sleeping with this guy last summer. I guess he would say, honestly, we were basically dating.
You're like, we weren't.
But we were not. And I told him, I was like, I really want to have a threesome. So we found a girl on Hinge.
Love. And wait, how did you go about the Hinge? Well, tell me what you said.
Oh, I was super transparent. I was like, that's how we have to approach this. I told her like, hey, I had matched with a couple girls. Like, I'm seeing this guy. I really want to have a threesome. Would you be down?
Love.
And just like really straight to the point, which I feel like is the best way to do it. Like, totally. I don't want to lure you to drinks and then he shows up. That's like creepy weird.
No.
And she was like, yeah, I'm down. Just like, what does he look like? And like a few questions. And then I want to say I don't even remember if we got drinks or maybe she just came over one time, but we ended up hooking up with her a few times.
Oh, wow.
And honestly, I thought it was fun just to watch them have sex. Like, I was really into that. You just have to have really clear boundaries in place and communication.
Yeah.
So like, even for this guy, like, I wasn't super attached to him.
Yeah.
And that's why I decided to do it with him. Whereas if I was doing it with someone I was deeply in love with, for me personally, that wouldn't work. I would feel jealous and like a whole... like list of feelings that I don't want to feel.
Yeah, it's hard because when I had it, I was with someone that I was like, quote unquote, in a relationship with. But like, I knew this is like such a fuckboy and like this isn't going to last. There's such a difference between fantasizing about it and talking about it and then actually doing it.
And once you go there, sometimes it's hard to come back. Like even with that couple that I used to hook up with, like I do think it fucked their relationship. Maybe in theory she was down with it, but once it actually happened, she was like, I can't believe you were into her. You did this to her while I was watching. It made me feel insecure and like they just couldn't get past it.
Do you know if they ever had a guy in the come in?
They never had a guy. I've never had a threesome with two guys. But I will say one of the things that I did that for anyone listening who wants to have a threesome, I told my guy last summer and I was really straight up. I was like, I want to facilitate it. So I don't want you to have her number. I don't want you to text her. I don't want you to like hook up with her one-on-one. Like that's my boundary. I want someone random or we have this fun night and then she leaves. And if we want to have another one, we can talk about that. But I don't want to feel really like there's any competition with this girl.
That's where it's just, if you're going to do it, I agree with you. I think setting up boundaries and also... Yeah, I think that's a really good idea for you to have her information and like there's no need for them to communicate outside of those moments.
But there's very like pea-sized brain men going on or like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The energy of like, oh, well, I've already fucked her. So what difference does it make?
Right.
And I'm like, no, there is a huge difference. I've had a couple threesomes just with like close girlfriends of mine.
Really?
Where... I had one threesome with this guy that I used to hook up with. We hadn't hooked up for like a year. And then my girlfriend came to me and she was like, I want to have a threesome. Like, I feel really comfortable with you. And I was like, I'm down. And we went out to dinner and we texted that guy. And I was like, do you want to fuck us? And we did it.
Did you worry that that would affect your friendship at all?
It hasn't. I've done it a few times and it hasn't.
Because I feel like there is obviously...
You just have to be able to turn it off.
Yeah.
Like, once again, like, okay, we're in this space, we're having this threesome, but it's not that every time I come over now or when I see you for brunch that I'm, like, trying to fuck you.
Right.
Yeah, you just have to have, mutual respect and also talk about, like, okay, are we going to use a condom? So, like, for the guy that I was sleeping with last summer, it was, like, we were sleeping together not using a condom, so when she would have sex with him, they would put on a condom and then we make sure to take it off when we are having sex just so you're not like swapping those bodily fluids.
I agree with you. I think definitely make sure you're protected because that you don't need that. Yeah. Be safe. Can you describe an instance where a friend fucked you over?
Yes. I had this friend that I was friends with years ago, actually before I think I even started my website.
Okay.
And I had met her on Instagram. And I was going through like a really rough patch in my personal life. I've had a lot of ebbs and flows with like depression or depressive episodes or anxious episodes. And I flew down to Miami and we met in Miami and we started hanging out and then she started dating like an A-list celebrity.
Okay.
And she came back to New York or she flew to New York and she was like, hey, I can't live with my new boyfriend. So can I sleep at your apartment? And I was like, sure. So she moves into my apartment. She fully moves into my place and
like shows up with like all these bags,
suitcases. And so we shared a bed. We literally shared my bedroom.
Okay.
And like it was nice to have a best friend like 24/7. Honestly, like we had a great time and like we got so close. And she was dating this like A-list guy. And I kept telling her, like, listen, I'm so happy to help you out. I could help you find a new apartment. Like, I do really care about you. But I was living with my brother at the time. And I was like, I can't just have someone, like, living in my space, not paying rent. Like, that's just not cool. And it's creating a weird dynamic in our relationship. So.
Mature.
I am about to go back to New York and I want to say like the week before I went back, she was like, I'm going to go to Hawaii with my boyfriend. He has a house in Hawaii. So she was like, I'm not going to bring you, but I'm going to bring this girl. And it was like this very passive aggressive text. And I remember reading it. I was super young at the time, like 19. And I was offended. I was like, dude, you've been living in my house. Like what's going on with you? And I think she sent me just an aggressive text being like, I don't want to be friends with you. Like, she dumps me as a friend.
And you don't know why.
And I don't know why. I think she was just feeling like competitive or just getting to a point where she like was ready to push me away. And I think that's a pattern in her life.
Okay.
Fast forward a couple months and I get a text message from her. And I had had a box of Polaroids where I took photographs having sex with like a boyfriend I'd had when I was like 18 or 19. I never scanned them, so he didn't have copies of them. I only had hard copies of these Polaroids. And they were literally of us like fucking, like me sucking his dick, shit like that.
Love.
And she sent me photos of all of them. And she blackmailed me. She went through my shit, like through my drawers, found this box of these Polaroids, took photos of them to have an arsenal of blackmail, sent them to me after our friendship bombed, and said, if you ever piss me off, I'll post these on the internet. So I walked across the street because I used to live across the street from a precinct. This was like, oh God, I was like 19. So what is this, like 6-7 years ago? So I feel like the laws really weren't keeping up with the times. Yeah. And they're still not today.
Right.
But they told me, they were like, listen, if she puts them online, she can go to jail. But until then, like the threat is kind of empty. But I was able to get a restraining order. And I got a restraining order. And let's just say we don't talk anymore. And she never posted them, thank God.
I definitely can relate to what you're saying in terms of, listen, the internet is fucking all of us. Like nothing dies. And if you do delete it, someone's keeping it. That's like a sick fuck. I had someone in my life that I knew since high school that was like really troubled, but I was friends with them and trying to see the best in them. And like we really were close. And then I started Call Her Daddy. And this person was just very volatile, but I also will say, like, I lived in a little bit of fear with ending that relationship for so long for fear of not knowing what he would do to me. And then it just ended up where, like, I knew that he couldn't get a job anywhere because of his record. And I basically, like, begged my employer at the time to give him a job. And then at the end of it, he like threatened me and was like, if you don't meet me in this park and give me $5,000, also I love how he said like $5,000, I will exploit you,
ruin your life,
blah blah blah. And from what the themes that I'm hearing from you and what I did was I just did nothing. I was like, you know what, I think we need to go our separate ways and I wish you the best. And so I think if anyone's getting blackmailed, I feel like, I love how this is not a theme that I was thinking of talking about on Call Her Daddy today, but if you're ever getting blackmailed, I think the best response is nothing.
No, I agree. I mean, obviously with the first one and the revenge porn, like I did have to go to the police.
Okay, yes, yes.
But it was scary. I felt like this is something that's not talked about. Like I didn't really know who to go to. Also, I was super young and I'm like, I don't know who to reach out to and be like, hey,
I have
naked photos of me fucking.
Right.
Like I'm not going to call my dad and ask for advice on that. So I really felt alone. And that was what was really terrifying about the situation. Because I think if I didn't have the confidence to go to the police, I would have just tried to deal with it on my own. And that's what's sad. And I feel like a lot of people tend to be in that position.
That's a good point. I have had girls reach out being like, oh my God, my ex has videos of us fucking.
And he was posting it online or something. Now that I will say the laws are trying to keep up a little bit with the times.
Yeah.
So in a lot of states, you can get in trouble for that. But
it's really fucked.
It's so fucked. And also when you trusted someone. But like my situation was really weird and specific because she wasn't even in the photos. It's not like my ex was threatening
right.
to do it.
It's
was like
a random
some random chick. So that made it like much more layered of like, okay, she's
not well in the head.
She's trying to spread like revenge porn and like threaten blackmail, but she's not even involved in the thing. So it's like a really she also got arrested from my house. This is just gonna give
she got arrested from your house.
This is gonna give away who it is, but
I have no idea.
For stealing a Birkin. It was like all over the news. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Wait, she stole a Birkin from you?
No, she stole a Birkin. I don't even know. She says she didn't steal the Birkin when we were friends, but I think she definitely did.
I was from that, Eileen, you got a Birkin? Fuck.
No, from a secondhand shop in New Jersey because she left like a lot of paperwork at my house and the paperwork was a bunch of women working at the shop had restraining orders on her. But the cops showed up to my apartment. I wasn't home, but she called me crying, being like, I just got picked up in a police vehicle. They're taking me somewhere I don't know. And I believe they took her to like the jurisdiction in Jersey across the bridge or the tunnel.
And you were like, God bless.
No, I was like, I don't know. I was friends with her at that time. Oh, so okay. I was just very confused. I was like, why are you getting arrested? How did they find you? Why are they at my apartment? Am I going to get in trouble?
Right. Like, what did you do?
Yeah.
We're switching gears here to...
This episode is brought to you by Curology. If you have particular skincare challenges, it can be really frustrating to waste time and money on products that just are absolutely not formulated for you. That is why I'm so excited to recommend Curology. I have personally struggled with acne my whole life, and I'll look at someone on YouTube or TikTok or Instagram and be like, should I buy those products? No, I do not have the same skin as them, so I should not be treating it the same. Curology's personalized prescriptions are formulated to treat your individual skin needs, from acne to the earliest signs of aging. All you have to do is go online, take a quick quiz, and you will be connected to a licensed dermatology provider that will create a custom formula based on your skincare needs. If you're ready to start your skincare journey and start seeing results, here is a special offer just for you. Visit Curology.com/callherdaddy for a special offer. That's Curology, Curology.com/callherdaddy. Offer applies only to your first box, subject to consultation, new subscribers only, subscription required. This episode is brought to you by Prime Video. I am a certified rom-com addict. I love watching movies and shows that are funny and cute and romantic and make me want to cuddle up to Matt, okay? And Prime Video feeds that addiction. Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Donald Glover, and Maya Erskine kind of love each other, kind of hate each other, and really love to rip each other's clothes off. Dare I say, better than the original. My Lady Jane, a hilarious, heartwarming, and sometimes steamy historical reimagining of the story of Lady Jane Grey. You can watch both of these and a whole lot more on Prime Video. You can also indulge in even more rom-com classics by adding channels like Max, Stars, and Paramount Plus. Prime Video, find your favorite flirty rom-coms all in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
This episode is brought to you by Azo Vaginal Health Products. Most women will experience a yeast infection during their lifetime, but it is time to stop giving women's health the silent treatment. I think sometimes we get so anxious, we don't want to deal with it. Well, actually, yeast infections, you're like, I actually have to deal with this. I literally am so fucking itchy right now. That is what Azo products are for. They have an entire line of products designed to help balance your vaginal pH and protect your vaginal health. Azo Complete Feminine Balance helps restore the balance of good bacteria and for protection from yeast and urinary tract issues. Try Azo Dual Protection. Azo, care that goes there. Daddy gang, you can save 20% with the promo code podcast at azoproducts.com. That's azoproducts.com.
When was the first time you went to therapy?
Ooh, probably as a kid after my mom passed away. I saw a therapist for a little bit, but I don't remember it that much. And I think it was very like cold, almost Freudian therapy.
Making the decision to check yourself into McLean Hospital to address your mental health was incredibly brave. That was during the pandemic.
It was before the pandemic.
Before the pandemic.
I was in there while the pandemic started unfolding and I left in the middle of Corona.
Can you walk me through that decision to go?
Yes. So I was dating a guy right before I left and I was really struggling with my mental health, just like debilitating anxiety, not eating, not sleeping. I ended up taking a break from work because I just like wasn't functioning. But I was dating this guy and he had struggled with really severe mental health issues years prior. And so he had been to McLean. And he was kind of the only person I feel like that could really see through what I was dealing with. And so he just sat me down one day and he was like, listen, there are options available. Like, I really think, and like I say this to you because I care and I love you, I really think you need to like get professional help.
How did you tell your dad and like your family?
Yeah, so his mom helped me find this program in New York. So okay. I did an outpatient program at Columbia.
Okay.
And it was just group therapy that you would go like 4 days a week for a few hours. And I just felt like shit. I was like, this is not helping me. I still had access to my phone. Okay. And I just felt like I was living alone, and I felt like I could go spend all day in therapy in these group therapy classes. And then I would go home and have to sit with my thoughts and my rumination.
Got it.
And I just felt worse. I felt horrible. Like, I don't even want to be here anymore. Like, am I going to feel like this for forever? And I asked the doctors at Columbia, like, I really want to go to a higher level of care. And so to get into a program at McLean, it's not like you just show up and knock on the door. Like, I had to do intakes with doctors. I had to fill out like 40 pages of paperwork. You have to send all your medical records. Like, it's like a big commitment. So I was just dealing with that for like a couple weeks while I was still doing the outpatient program. And then I showed up, probably began like early November. I did a residential program at McLean, so it wasn't inpatient. Like, I wasn't in a hospital gown. I wore like packed a suitcase of my normal clothes. I lived in a house in a residential part of Boston. You wouldn't even be able to, like, you wouldn't even know driving by it was part of the hospital. It just looked like a house.
Can you walk me through like a day as a patient there?
Yeah. So you wake up and there's probably like eight to 10 at a time. And then while people are graduating, then you get a new person. So there's a shift, a rotation while I was there for 5 months. You wake up, you get breakfast, and like, you can cook your own food. It's really chill just being roommates. And then you're in class all day. So the types of classes we would take are really teaching you like psychoeducation. So like, what is depression? What is anxiety? Like, what are the bodily functions? What's happening to your cortisol levels, your blood pressure, all of that shit? And what can you do about it? So like, if you're having a panic attack, what's a skill that, like, for example, they teach us to like throw your head into ice water, like literally dunk your head, calms and slows your heart rate.
Wow.
And McLean is part of Harvard Medical School. So they get like some of the top research. So everything that we would learn or do is taught by like Harvard professors. And so it's honestly really cool. And to learn like all of these things that I wasn't taught in school. So you're in class maybe for a couple hours. And then in the afternoon time, you go see a therapist twice a week. I had a therapist. Once a week, I saw a psychiatrist if you're like changing meds. Once a week, you have to do family therapy.
Oh, wow.
It's required. And then once a week, I also met with a Harvard researcher who's like studying to get their PhD. And they would do like very specific, like if you had any obsessive compulsive tendencies, they would work with you on that.
So you would like Zoom in with your family?
Yes.
Was that like the first time they had done therapy also?
I think that's the first time my dad had ever done therapy. I think that was my favorite part of the whole program. That was like the most life-changing part.
Wow.
Like, I think I got so much closer and more understanding with my dad in those 5 months than I had in my entire life. I don't even know if there were certain things that needed to be resolved. It was more just explaining to him, like, my family's not well-versed in mental health. Like, I don't think my parents grew up in families where that was normalized.
Yeah.
So they didn't know what anxiety really is. Like, obviously, he's heard of it.
Right.
But he didn't know how to so the doctor could really break it down. I'm like, this is what it feels like to have a panic attack. Like, some people come into the hospital thinking they're having a heart attack, and we have to tell them they're actually just having a panic attack, and like that it can be such physical symptoms.
So you didn't have a phone?
I didn't have a phone.
For 5 months?
For 5 months. No Instagram for 5 months. No, like, nothing. I did and was allowed to write letters to people.
Oh, great.
And received, honestly, like, hundreds of letters from my best friends, like, guys I used to hook up with, ex-boyfriends. And, like, on mail days where I would get those, it was, like, the best Christmas of my entire life. And I have them sitting in a box in my apartment in New York. And like, whenever I'm sad, I'll like go through them. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is so special. Like, it's not existing on a phone where like it's deleted, or next time I get a new phone, I lose it. Like, I have these tangible things I can sit down and read and be like, I have a lot of support and people and genuine relationships.
Taking 5 months off is so interesting to me of like, what?
Oh, that was horrible.
Were you so stressed?
one of the things I really struggled with while I was at McLean was, am I fucking over my career? Everything that I've built, is it going to wash away? You know, I'm going to come back. And it's just this idea that people's lives are moving on without you. And this idea that time moves, it doesn't stop for anyone. And I think that was the blessing of COVID, is I got out and the whole world was on pause.
Yeah.
So I felt like, holy shit, okay, everyone's kind of feeling what I've been feeling for the past 5 months.
Did you ever feel like, I need to get the fuck out of here? Like, did you ever want to leave?
Many times. Yeah. I talk about it really positively because overall it was a great experience. But there were days where I was like, literally get me the fuck out of here. I don't need to be here. I'm not as sick as some of the other people. Like, a lot of comparison. But
what kept you there though? Like, you could have left, right?
You have to stay 2 months minimum. Like, you kind of sign your life away a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I could like break some of the rules and get kicked out, and that happens.
You're like, I need to leave quickly. Break a rule.
I was literally living in a mental hospital. Like, I have some of the most insane stories. I think I'm the only person who brought a vibrator. I was like, I'm gonna be here for a couple months, like, I'm gonna bring a vibrator.
Right.
But we were allowed to go to like a public gym. Like, you go to the gym every day. Like,
could you go to like, what do you, you can't go to dinners obviously.
No, but like, you can go to the store. So we would go to like a normal grocery store twice a week, and then like Whole Foods or Trader Joe's on the weekend. And yeah, it was such a weird experience. I was never in like a typical college. Like, I didn't go to a sorority, or I wasn't in a sorority. So it kind of felt like I was in a sorority of like cuckoo people. Like, I had the best 5 months.
Did you make...
Like, sometimes it sucked ass. Because also, if you fight with someone, you have to come downstairs and like, you sit in a group therapy and you have to talk it out. I mean, people are just like hypersensitive and dealing with a lot. So I don't know, just even if you like look at someone a certain way, like, they could pop off on you.
Yeah.
Like, these are people who are having problems in their day-to-day life. But yeah, you have to be sober. You have to get drug tested twice a week.
Wow.
Like, that's really enforced.
Were you like given like a diagnosis?
Yeah. It's people mostly in the program have like different personality disorders.
Okay.
Or like anxiety, depression, but like, most disorders are comorbid. How it was explained to me is like, someone who just has like borderline or is just has an obsessive compulsive personality disorder, that's like a unicorn. Like, a lot of the time they exist with something else. So someone who has borderline is probably narcissistic too. And like, these are people who are going to this program because their lives are not, like, they're not able to function. So they can't hold down a job, or their relationships are failing. And so they're going there kind of as like a last hope.
Yeah.
Or they're very suicidal, or they've been in and out of psychiatric holds for years, and this is kind of like their last stop.
Were you put on medication? Like, how did that
I was on medication
you?
Before I went. Okay. So I'm on Lexapro, but a really low dose. Mm-hmm. And I take it for like obsessive thoughts and anxiety. And I had a really good reaction to it. So amazing. I'm just on a low dose, and it has like changed my life.
Because I know people will write in being like, it's affecting my sex life.
Yes, so that's
like
a big thing. I mean, that's really normal.
Do you have any advice?
When I was on a higher dose, I felt really numbed out and didn't want to have sex. Now that I'm on a lower one, and I think it took me 5 months working with doctors to be able to give me different skills so I wasn't relying on the medication.
Got it.
Before, I felt like I was just relying on this pill, taking this pill every morning.
Yep.
So I think working with your doctor to come up with like, what are tools in my interpersonal relationships in my day-to-day life that can help me. And like, it just takes me a little bit longer to orgasm now. I have to have more foreplay. Like, there's a very specific things I can do to enjoy sex more. And being open with partners, that's huge. Like, I've told, ever since I started Lexapro, like, I've told the people I've hooked up with, like, hey, I'm on this medication. It takes me a lot longer to orgasm, and sometimes I can't.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, my mental health is more of a priority to me than my sex life, because I want to be like happy and want to be alive and not be like not functioning. Like, no sex, no career, nothing is worth that to me.
Hello, Daddy Gang. It's your father. I hope you guys enjoyed that episode. I felt like it was a great conversation. And
I really had a great time getting to know Eileen. I may go on her podcast at some point, who knows? But the thing is that we actually recorded for 2.5 hours. So I have a fat chunk of content that I didn't put into this episode. If you guys enjoyed me having Eileen on, let me know and I may release more in a mini episode. We discuss a lot that gets into business. Like she discusses her business. I discuss my business. And if you guys are interested in hearing about that stuff, and also just a lot more fucking topics that I was like, holy shit, this is a lot to digest in one sitting. So let me know if you guys enjoyed this. But Daddy Gay, that is it for this week's fucking episode. Daddy Gang, you know the motherfucking drill. I will see you fuckers next Wednesday.
This episode is brought to you by DoorDash. Want $0 delivery fees? Try Dash Pass by DoorDash. Daddy gang, I love being home. I love to be cozy, comfortable, laying on the couch. I can't tell you how many times I need something, but I am too lazy to get up and get out of the house. And sometimes I need food or groceries, you name it. Dash Pass gets it delivered right to my door and yours too. It is only $9.99 a month, so I think it's a really good deal, Daddy Gang. So get $0 delivery fees on eligible orders with Dash Pass, and new members get a 30-day free trial. Terms apply. Sign up today.